done, Thomas. And well done to Thomas' mum as well. Why do I say so? Well, I will tell you that she is wonderful keeping in time. Because anybody noticed or looked at your watch, when did we really start the service? And that is backy turning to the service sheet. Anybody did notice? It was 10:45, actually, that when we really started the service. Well done, keeping. We are going to have two talks, and yet we are going to finish in time. Well done. Now, there must be some reason that Napo is pointing to it, that. And that is because I believe the Lord has given me something very important, exciting, to share with you. I don't know about Becky and Lynn and, of course, Charlotte as well, but when I do prepare the talks, I get very excited. And my excitement, and let me tell you another truth about myself, excitement is not really that I love my voice. If anything, I don't. And the reason is because so often you ring and you say, oh, who are you? You have got cold again. No, I haven't. Well, your voice sounds so. So that is my voice. And you can just imagine that I'm not very fan of it. But the excitement is because first I spend the time in prayer and I say that, Lord, speak to me. And I hear him speak to me and I get excited. I'm going to tell others as well about it. Do you come to your church expecting God to speak to you through Charlotte, through Becky, through Lynn, through me, through our musicians, through our singers? Do you? I tell you that if we come expecting, the Lord will speak every Sunday to us. But let's now just have a quick word of prayer. Father, we bless you, we give you the glory. And Lord, we commit ourselves in your hands. And pray, Lord, that you speak to us. It is not, Lord, any human beings, but your voice. We want to speak to our hearts. And as for me, may my words glorify the name of my Savior, Lord Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen. As you are aware that in our church we are focusing on the Psalms. Psalm 98. It is a psalm, if you are familiar with the Psalms, very similar to Psalm 96. But there is a profound difference. 96 very much focuses on the sanctuary where to praise God. The theme is the same. But 98 is that wherever you are, rejoice and praise God. Isn't it wonderful? And what a wonderful it was coming when Leon asked the question and people talking about garden. Yes, it is your garden, but somewhere in heart it is the praise of the Maker too, who creates beautiful colors. The psalm writer in our today's psalm, Psalm 98, I guess is very much focused on the experience of the Israelites when they came out from Egypt, the house of slavery. And in this psalm, he gives three very strong his reasons that why he encourages his readers or his listeners to join with him to sing a new song to God. The first reason comes that in verse 1. And that reason is that God won the victory for himself. Nobody aided him, but he won it himself. And if you are familiar with all the gods and so on of the time, that how it operated, that is something very, very unique. That his God, the God of the Bible, did not need anybody's assistant but He won the victory himself. Do you think we Christians have some reason, similar reason, to praise God and rejoice in Him? I leave it to your imagination. The second reason that He invites people to join Him to sing God's praises, sing a new song, and that is that God won salvation for this group of people, not because they were special, but because in His own righteousness He did win victory, salvation for them. Do you think we Christians have some reason to rejoice about the subject of salvation? I leave it again to your imagination. And the third reason, then of course he talks all the way through the psalm about the harmony within the created order. But then the third reason he points out for his reason to call people together to rejoice and to sing God's praises is the prophetic word that he saw, Christ not coming first time, but Christ coming back. Do you think we Christians, we have a reason to celebrate, to sing a new song, knowing that one day Christ Jesus, who ascended to the Father, will come back? Let's have some time look at Revelation chapter 21, and it's beautiful. New heaven, new earth he will create. But you know that Jesus did talk about the kingdom to come, i.e. that he will return, there will be new heaven, there will be new earth, but he also said that the kingdom is among you. And I think that this our theme, Thy Kingdom, is so timely that we Christians focus that his kingdom comes here too. What I'm now going to request Charlotte, that she is going to turn on the computer, show a very short two videos focused on the theme of Thy Kingdom Come and the coming of the Holy Spirit, and then I will just wrap it up.
Rests on the conviction that the strongest power in the world is unseen. Thy Kingdom Come is built on this conviction given to us by Jesus. Often when we pray, we don't see immediate results, but we know we should trust and believe that God hears our prayers. The testimony of many people is that God has used the prayers and witness of others to bring the reality of the good news to their lives. I'd like to give you an example and tell you about a friend of mine, Brian. As he sat, beginning his fourth time in prison at the age of 20, he felt life couldn't get any worse.
When I was 18, through a whole set of rather unfortunate circumstances, I ended up getting incredibly involved with drugs. And then I became homeless, and off the back of that, I ended up in prison. All that time I was in prison, people were praying for me. And to my amazement, my solicitor was a Christian. My probation officer was a Christian. My cellmate was exploring faith and was a Christian. It was almost like wherever I went, I couldn't get away from God. In fact, once my probation officer threw a Bible at me and said, "You should read this, Brian." After being arrested for the fourth time, I ended up in a probation hostel. And in that probation hostel, sitting on my bed, I opened up the Bible, and the Bible spoke to me so powerfully about the fact that Jesus saves. And at that moment, on my own, in that probation hostel, I gave my life to Jesus, and my life was radically transformed.
Brian's life is evidence of the years of prayer, the gentle nudges from friends, and even the not-so-gentle probation officer who threw a Bible at him. We all have people in our lives who don't know about Jesus and the difference he longs to bring to them.
We get this wonderful opportunity to be involved in people's secret history, the history that is unseen, of people who don't give up, who persevere. In a world where the culture is instant, we need to be the people who don't give up in praying, because when we pray, God is at work.
Every invite to church, every gentle conversation about God, every prayer for a friend in God's hand contributes to someone's secret history. That is why your prayers matter. They really matter. Never underestimate the power and influence that your prayers have on the world. In prayer, God invites us to be his partners in the transformation of the world through transformed lives. So join us for Thy Kingdom Come 2018. People in 85 countries around the world, 85 countries, I can hardly believe it, have been praying, Thy Kingdom Come. It's an extraordinary joining together of Christians all around the world to pray two prayers, Thy Kingdom Come and Come Holy Spirit. Two prayers that are literally world-changing. They are the most extraordinary prayers you can imagine. One of the reasons for that is that Jesus himself teaches us to pray them. And if he teaches us to pray them, it's because he wants them prayed, because he wants to see answers. So what an amazing thing that so many people have been involved. And it goes further than that, because we have to say, when we've prayed, well, what do we do now? How do we respond to the fact that when we pray, God changes the world and God changes us? Our wills are aligned with God. What we want is brought more in tune with what he wants. Paul says to the Philippians in chapter 2 of his letter to them, continue to work out your faith with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. It's God who works in us. I hear that and I think, that is the most extraordinary, remarkable, slightly frightening, but also amazingly overwhelming thing. That God, who loves me so much, is at work in me. There's quite a lot of work to do, by the way, but he's doing it. So what do we do? Well, I want to suggest two things. First, we've prayed Thy Kingdom Come. The kingdom is about the perception, the visible signs of the rule and reign of God in our world. We've prayed Thy Kingdom Come. So what are we going to do for us to be part of the answer to that prayer? In our families, in our communities, in our homes, in our nations, wherever it is, what are we going to do? Not so that people look at us and say, oh, that's very special, but so that they say, there is Christ's kingdom being seen. It could be anything, but it'll be about meeting need, about aligning our actions with the priorities and will of God. It's the most exciting thing, because when you do that, the most astonishing things happen. And secondly, we've prayed, come Holy Spirit, and one of the innumerable things that the Holy Spirit does is to warm people's hearts so that they are open to the love and the goodness and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That Jesus becomes real to them, that they know his salvation, that they know his plan and purpose for their life, that they're called and they hear the call. During this period between Ascension and Pentecost, people have been praying for a number of people, their friends, perhaps five people. What are you going to do in the most sensitive, generous, loving way, in a way that you would like to be treated, that enables them to have an opportunity to hear about Jesus Christ? Could be any number of things. Simple word of witness, hospitality. It could be anything. Depends who they are, where they are. Be sensitive, be loving, be full of the grace that God is showing to you and to me. But do something. May God bless you as you change the world And in changing it, you are changed by the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you very much, Charlotte. I focused earlier on the psalm that how he is encouraging his listeners, his readers, to rejoice, to sing a new song to God. Basically, God's people are to be a people of joy. I told three reasons that why he was encouraging people to rejoice, to sing a new song. But humanly speaking, at times, the subject of God winning the victory, himself, our salvation, the knowledge based upon God's witness, words of Christ Jesus, that he will return, they become somehow concept. And perhaps at time we would like something more material in our hand to feel the joy. And here we did hear about the power of the prayer and also the need for prayer. And when I'm going to talk a little bit on those two things, and when I will talk about the need for prayer, I'm going to mention few facts and figures, but that is not to make us feel guilty. That is, first of all, that we need to pray for justice. And second, perhaps that is some sort of immaterial issues where we could feel the joy and gratitude towards God, what we have. Did you know that last year saw the biggest increase in billionaires' history? One more every 20 days. Billionaires saw their wealth increase by $762 in just 12 months. This huge increase have ended global extreme poverty 7 times over. However, the realities are very different. 82% of the new wealth created has gone to 1%, while 0% has gone to the world's poorest 50%. Do you think there is some need for us Christians to pray? 70% of the world's adult own under $10,000 in wealth. 70.1% of the world hold only 3% of the global wealth. Just imagine a world, Hayes Village, where 100 people lived. Hayes is the world, and there are 100 people in it. Out of those 100, 80 are in poverty. 70 has no education, none whatsoever. 50 would suffer from hunger, malnutrition. Only 1 out of 100 would have a university degree. Do you believe that we have a reason to thank God what we have? You know that if you have got some money in your bank account today, few coins in your pocket, you are one of 8 of the privileged. If your parents are still living and married, you are a rare individual. If you had not experienced war, solitude, prison, torture, not near death, starvation, you are better off than 500 million people this morning. Today you are here worshiping in freedom. You are luckier than 1 billion people in the world. If you have got food in the fridge, clothes not in your cupboard, but on you, roof over your head, place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the world population. These are the realities. Cause on the one hand to thank God and rejoice, but on the other, the need to pray. And last but not least, one example what prayer can do. I know a brother and a sister. Sister committed to Christ, brother not. She started to pray for her brother. And because of my position, of course, people from all over the world, they approach me and ask to pray, ask me to join in prayer. I started to pray for this young man as well. One day, I had email written while tears were flowing from this sister's eyes that I am not tired. I have been praying and praying and praying without any results. God doesn't hear. I encourage this young lady to continue to pray because I am standing by you to pray for your brother. And lo, not long after that, for some very strange reason, I forgot to turn off the sound of my mobile. And after 1 a.m., that sound which comes on your mobile that there is something, I opened my eyes. What is it? Opened, read a message, not from sister, but from brother who wrote to her, his sister, and copied me in. I have found the light. I have committed my life to Lord Jesus Christ. I have found He is real and He is true. That is what prayer can do. And what an opportunity we will have for 10 days to pray for our loved ones, for our world, for our community, that may God's kingdom come among us. But may their lives also be changed by the power of the Spirit. Amen.